It's a privilege to be with you all this morning, and I'm just so excited to be coming and sharing with a church that we really look to as a partner church, that we are in this together in the mission of God. And it means a great deal to us that there's a church that's committed and supporting and helping with a new initiative. I remember just about 3.5 years ago, I think, sitting with Chris, Pastor Chris, outside on one of those picnic tables because it was during COVID. So we had to keep a little distance and started sharing. I enjoyed hearing just about the vision of this church, the mission commitment here, and hearing about the way that God is moving in this church. Well, I talked with Chris, what's their vision mission? And it was clear that openness to new things, to see something new begin, kind of emerged as we talked anyway. So we came up with the idea, and I knew something was getting ready to launch in the Amazon, a place that Global Disciples had never been before. And we talked, would Finland Mennonite Church be interested in sponsoring that initiative? And I understand that was taken to the mission team. I don't know how it's processed, but eventually the answer came back, yes. And I remember being on a Zoom call with the leader in Brazil and then another leader who's in Ecuador who gives oversight. When they heard about a church in Pennsylvania that wanted to sponsor this initiative, they were just jubilant and excited. It meant so much to them, and it built their faith that, yes, God is calling us to do this, and he's providing the means of how to do that. A man named Angelo then went and started pioneering. He experienced a lot of tropical diseases. He lost a lot of weight. He looks really good today, actually. And long boat rides, a lot of trials, a lot of setbacks, but they kept going, and the results have been so encouraging over these past 3.5 years. The strategy of Global Disciples is we equip near-culture workers. We love to see missionaries sent from America. What we feel like God has called us to do is say, let's build on what missionaries did 100 years ago in some countries. Missionaries that have already gone, and therefore, in a lot of these places, there are churches that are vibrant, but they are still haven't reached those places yet. There's still places nearby that are totally unreached with the gospel, or we just call them the least reached areas of the world. And we feel like that's where we're to focus, but to do it by training then those near culture workers, the people who are already there, they already speak a language or a similar language. They know the culture. You know, if I show up in an African village, it's going to be a shock and people are going to be suspicious. But someone who's like them, who dresses like them, eats the same food, comes into their midst and shares the gospel, it goes much, much faster. My wife, Lori, and I were missionaries in Hungary for 12 years. We felt it took us 5 years to become effective when we started seeing fruit. We had to learn a very, very difficult language. The culture was hard to get a grasp of. God was with us, but it took that time of perseverance, and it was slow. Eventually, we saw those breakthroughs happen. But what's amazing here is we see those breakthroughs happen much, much quicker. For example, currently already, there are 35 programs that are running in the Amazon. So 3.5 years. The first year, they trained about 15 people to go back and start their own programs. Essentially, it's a simple discipleship program. They take their own people and send them out on outreach. And in that, they send them to villages where there's no church, to tribes where there's no church, and they share the gospel of Jesus, and just believing the Holy Spirit's going to open the door. And so from that, there are 35 programs that are running. They're going to start another training program with directors this fall that will bring it up to about 42 programs. And right now, the last report we had, which is actually in February, we only do reports about twice a year or something like that, 37 new churches have been planted since we began this initiative. Praise the Lord. That represents many believers. Yeah, let's give that clap offering. Many people who've come to faith in Christ. It represents many people who've made big sacrifices to get on those boats, travel upstream, walk and hike into the jungles, risking their lives to share the gospel. We've heard some incredible stories, including one where they arrived and the people were very suspicious. They never had much exposure to the outside world. And they said, well, we're going on a pig hunt. And they left them outside in the village. We'll come back and let you know whether we will allow you to come in or not. So they're waiting, and they came back and said, we're going on a pig hunt today. You can join us. So they went pig hunting. And God blessed that pig hunt in such a way that everyone was amazed. Like, these guys must have something special. Let's hear what they have to say. And they're invited in. And God opened the door for the gospel in that village through a pig hunt. So God does unique things and wonderful things. And we're so privileged that we get the opportunity to partner with what God is doing in this world, overseas, in faraway places, but here in our communities. God is alive, and he works through each one of us. Before we go further, I want to just share just a greeting from the Latin American leaders. And the last one is Angelo, who's one who's been spearheading the work into Amazon. We saw this morning that the subtitles are too small, so I'm going to do a voiceover as we do this video. Hello, I'm Samuel Paz, facilitator from Northern Mexico. Global Disciples has helped us mobilize 500 workers to work in churches in different parts, and this year especially in the Circle of Silence, one of the five least evangelized states in the country of Mexico. Hello, I'm Humán from Cali, Colombia. Thanks to Global Disciples, we have been mobilizing young people, leaders, to reach the least reached peoples and impact the church in Colombia. Thank you so much. Hello there, I'm Joel, Global Disciples Facilitator for Bolivia and the Southern Cone. Since Global Disciples arrived in Bolivia, it has been a great blessing, narrowing geographical distances, but also at the leadership level. Uniting groups of churches to be able to do their part among groups of churches in the Bolivian Amazon, where we now see leaders equipping and sending disciples to train others and thus multiply disciples. Hello, I'm Angelo from Brazil. I am very grateful to Global Disciples because it has helped us to look at our people and not only see that they are in need, but also have an appropriate and culturally adapted strategy so that we can take the gospel to them. Thank you for everything you have done for us. The Amazon thanks you. Brazil thanks you. God bless you. Amen. As I was just praying as I came into this church this morning, I was really blessed by the presence of the Lord, just the peace that I felt among you all. I was so blessed by the worship this morning, by the worship team. That's especially meaningful for me. As Jerry mentioned, I travel to places of the world helping worship teams and worship leaders learn about biblical worship, to adapt worship to be culturally relevant for themselves, not just to take a song like we sing here in America, but to write their own songs in their own tribal languages that match the styles or that people can identify within their communities. It's been really interesting to see how this has grown. Some places where I've gone, you went into a church, and man, it is vibrant and exciting. They really dance in some of the, especially the African countries, and it's powerful, but I saw it's like it didn't go past that. And some of the teachings that we've done, people have fallen on their knees in repentance and just said, we never knew what it meant to really enter into the presence of God in worship. So we praise God for this, where God is moving and then empowering his people through worship. They say that worship, it's been said that worship is the fuel of missions. That when we encounter God in a space like this, when we come together as the body of Christ and we worship together and we welcome the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the presence of God comes among us, man, we're set on fire. And then we are sent out. Our worship is never meant to be just a wonderful experience. It's a place of empowerment and sending. Today, we're focusing on that mustard seed. The mustard seed in the parable that Jesus taught us. And in this, I was just praying, Lord, what is your message for this church? Yeah, I knew I'd get this wrong. Here we go. You guys can help me back there. Thanks. I just felt like God was saying today that there are many people here that God has appointed today for you to receive a mustard seed of faith in your hearts. Some here have dreams. Once in a while, there's something like, I'd love to do something like that. I feel like God is saying, that's a little mustard seed that's already there. He's going to nurture it and it's going to grow. I think there's going to be some new ministries, some new things happening. I know there are always here in this church, but I want to encourage you, listen today and ask God, what is that mustard seed of faith that maybe is already planted that you want to nurture and grow? And show me then how to walk that out, how to grow that mustard seed of faith. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13? We're reading verses 24 through 30. Actually, I'm going to focus on 31 through 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. And he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to come and reveal your word to us. And Lord, we need you. As we sang together, we need you, Lord. Lord, we're often weak in our faith, stumbling, doubting, fearful. But Lord, you've appointed us to bear fruit. You've appointed us to grow. So we pray today. Holy Spirit, speak to us, lead us and guide us. Bring your word and plant it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So up on the slide, you can see a picture of a mustard tree. So when I first started researching this, okay, what is this mustard seed he's talking about? You know, most mustard plants that we know of are fairly small, but the mustard tree is actually a different species that was going on in the nation of Israel, and they actually do grow quite tall. They grow quickly. They can grow up to 30 feet tall. Most likely in the biblical times, these trees may not have been used as for like mustard as we know it today. But one thing they did is they put out tender shoots, and they were used to clean teeth. So it's been nicknamed, this type of tree, the toothbrush tree. The King and His Kingdom. This is a series that we're in. And I'm sure you all have already focused on this, but I just want to ask you, and feel free to speak it out, what comes to your mind when you hear a phrase and put out all the teaching you've had so far, the King and His Kingdom, what comes to your mind? What images or what types of moods? A throne. Castle. I didn't hear. Power. Kids, what do you think of? King and his kingdom. What's a king like? What was that? Beautiful. That's a good one. Yeah. Noble. So when we think of a kingdom, we think of grand things, of power, a big throne. It's mind-boggling, the bigness of it all. But the kingdom of God is different. And this is what we're focusing on. This is what Jesus taught. He taught a lot of paradoxes. Yes, God is great, and he is big and wonderful and kind and grand and beautiful. But God works through small things, like this mighty mustard seed. Through his parables, Jesus is teaching us to value small things like the mustard seed. The seeds in the parable that are sown, the green seed goes into the ground and dies, but if it has good soil, and if it's not taken away by birds or by weeds, then it grows up to produce fruit 100 times over. It talks about yeast or the leaven, where just a little bit is worked into about 60 pounds of flour, a little bit of yeast that makes the bread completely different. Without that yeast, it'd just be a very flat, crisp cracker. But with that yeast, it becomes something much, much bigger. Salt. The little difference that salt makes when it's put into food, a little bit, changes its flavor. And so we, as salt of the earth, we change the flavor wherever we are. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus taught about small things through his actions and his example. He hung out with poor people, not the important people of the land. He wasn't going to the rulers and authorities, hanging out with the very wealthy. He did sometimes, but most of the time, he was spending time with plain or ordinary people. He invested most of his time not into the great crowds, but into his 12 disciples. the uneducated men from Galilee that were considered unimportant and insignificant. There was some type of saying, what good can come from that area? Jesus, except for a brief time in Egypt as when he was a baby, to our knowledge, never journeyed outside of the small nation of Israel. He celebrated the widow's small offering at the temple when she put in just two small coins. He said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts from their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Jesus celebrated that moment. Jesus did not come into Israel then as a king with a mighty army. He came in on a small donkey. He came with humility. He didn't defend himself. He gave himself willingly to be arrested, to be beaten, to be stripped, to die on a cross. Throughout the Bible, we see God's attention to small things. Abraham, one man that God called. And he said, through your seed, all the families on earth will be blessed. He chose Israel, a small nation, to be the nation through which he would bless the entire world, all the nations in the world. Paul wrote in the letter of the Corinthians, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So this philosophy of ministry that Paul brings, that Jesus taught, that was taught throughout the Old Testament and demonstrated, you know, it's very, very contrary to the mindset of this world, isn't it? It really goes against the kind of the stream, the current, or the way that we're taught that we should live. Especially here in America, we like things big, don't we? What are the things that we tend to like big? Kids, help me out here. What do people in your home, what is it that something that you want to be big? Anyone? A big house. Thank you. What else? I just want to get this. We want the big screen TV, don't we? We want to see those eagles in really close up and be able to see how that pass is caught or lost, whichever one. A big car. So this is especially evident when you go to other parts of the world. You know, you squeeze into this tiny little car. You see four people on a motorcycle carrying a baby and a sack of flour. It's pretty remarkable. In our nation's mentality, almost everything is better, bigger, except for our bellies. That's one thing that we wish were smaller, and one thing I wish were smaller. You know, the author Donald Crable calls the kingdom of God the upside-down kingdom. So here we see it. The world talks about bigness and versus small, power versus humility, ruling versus serving, self, a focus on self in this world instead of a focus on others, a focus on fame and being well-known. God calls us to be invisible. We look up to impressive people. God wants ordinary people. Amen. Jesus turned expectations upside down. And we can ask, what does it mean to follow the Christ who traded victory and power for hanging out with the poor and forgiving his enemies? The kingdom of God is full of surprises, and God is still bringing about surprises today. We need mustard seed faith. for God's purposes. And the good thing about this is it's simple, like small things. I think Jesus used this mustard seed faith because he wanted to say to us, it's really not hard. Don't be upset. Don't be worked up. Oh, I've got to drum up faith. I've got to claim that harder. God just wants us to relax, but be in him and let that little spark of faith grow. And God is the one who does the work. As we listen, as we are obedient, God is the one who does it all. Let's look at this story about an ordinary person and doing ordinary things through them. So Jesus acted in small ways, but his vision was big. Galen Burkholder says this often. He's the founder of Global Disciples, and someone I really look up to. He says, think big, but act small. This is our philosophy in Global Disciples. Like here in Finland, invested in this small beginning. With not a good amount of money, but it's not a great amount, but it goes far. When we focus on small things that will multiply. In my own personal testimony, this was a hard lesson to learn. As Jerry mentioned, I was trained as a singer, and I saw myself heading into a performing career, and I would see myself performing in front of big crowds of people, sharing my testimony, and seeing people respond, more like a big crusade or something like that. Then I heard someone teach. They taught about making disciples. They said, okay, you could be an evangelist that wins 30,000 people to Christ every year. Let's say 1,000 people to Christ every year. At the end of 30 years, then, you would have won 30,000 people to Jesus. That's fantastic. That's great. But he presented a different scenario. If you, in the 1 year, you disciple one person, just focus on the one for one whole year, helping them grow in the Word of God. And by the way, the best way, to lead others in discipleship, just read the Word of God together. Just talk about it. Pray together. How does this then apply to our lives? So after 1 year of discipleship, that person comes to Christ, puts faith in Christ. But they're also taught that the Bible says that we are called to make disciples. So we're also helping them learn. How can they also now pass on, 1 year later, what they've learned to someone else and have someone else that they're walking with in discipleship to make a disciple? Then in year two, that new person then disciples one more, but the first person, you disciple another person in that second year, staying in contact with the one disciple, helping them in their ministry. Now you've got two people you're working with. But this new person has one person they're working with. In year three, then, there's going to be, where did I write this down? My math is not so good. In year three, then, four disciples, each person, one other person to be making disciples that will become disciples. So this goes on. Just imagine this in your mind. Every year it expands. Let's say in year four, year two or three, you've got four disciples. The next year is going to be eight, then 16, then 32. Who has a guess that after 30 years, how many disciples would be won to Christ? Over a million. In fact, I did the math yesterday with an Excel sheet. It's 500 million in 30 years. Because once that multiplication starts to engage, it gets just bigger and bigger. If you go 31 years, then it's a billion people. So we see how this multiplication happens. This is what we've done with Global Disciples. It started very, very slow in the beginning, focusing on a few areas of the world, helping people start their programs, but training them to make disciples that will make disciples. Training those that were trained, then how can they help someone else start a discipleship program where they're going to train about 15 people that are going to go out and plant churches and make disciples. So the concept was the beginning. Do small things, but think big. Think big for the long term because God's going to multiply what we're doing. Just a graph of what things have been happening. Oh, I was going to put this in here, but I did it earlier. There's some photos from Amazon going by river and boat. And meeting for prayer, going out in evangelism to new villages. I told Brandon, I usually mix things up quite a bit when I'm preaching, so that's the way it is. So a decade of Global Disciples growth. It started about 28 years ago. It took a long time just to get up to a few programs. It started about 2007. By 2009, it had gotten up to 103 programs. Let's just look further. By 2013, then, it started multiplying. It got up to 307. By 2020, we're up to 1,966 programs in many, many different countries. And today, we're at about 3,400 programs, I think, last time I checked, in over 70 different nations. And all of these workers that are abroad, they're all national workers. Some of us travel once in a while to train and encourage. But our goal is let's work ourselves out of a job as soon as we can so that someone from that region can take over. Let's look at some stories then from some of our disciples. These are some staff people from Southeast Asia.
A brother was having a desire to meet some missionary people and he invited me for our global discipleship training. And as they were trained and they were going to outreach, so then the few villages where there was no church and the gospel was never preached, had them in the village people refused them to preach the gospel. And again the Spirit of God said they should go again to preach. Again they were chased out from the villagers, abusing them. They started praying for the village and the Spirit of God said them to go again to the village. As they entered the village and they were preaching the gospel, they heard noise, shouting noises from a house. As they reached the house, they could hear the crying and shouting of the woman. They said that this lady has been possessed for years. We tried everything, but she is not cured. Then the brothers who went for the outreach, they said, can we pray for the sister? And as the team laid their hands and prayed for the sister, immediately God delivered her from the evil possessions and she was healed immediately. By seeing it, the believers were surprised how, in the name of Jesus, the miracle took place. Slowly, the people started bringing the same kind of ladies to the place for prayer. And as they prayed, three ladies were delivered from the evil position. The deaf started hearing. God started doing miracles in the village. And in the history of that place, first time a church has been established in that village. And the lady first who were delivered, our house became the place of fellowship. And we praise God through Global Disciples how God is working to reach the least rich people, least rich villages in India.
In Sri Lanka, we had a discipleship training. 50 disciples was trained. They started to share the gospel. While they are doing, sometimes they met witch doctors and demon possessed people. They got medicine many years. Nothing happened. When they go and pray, but the power of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, they told me he began to follow Jesus. There are many people oppressed by the demon. When they pray, began to meditate. When they cast in the name of Jesus, they release and they fell free. They never feel that kind of freedom in their whole life. One started 8 churches. Another person started 6 churches. Now they are doing global discipleship training with 15 disciples. They are ready to go to the rich streets and share the gospel, being sold to the world. Thank you for your prayers and support. Praise the Lord.
One day, a little boy, he was more than 21 days. The baby was treated under the government hospital by the expert medical doctor. Finally, doctor said, "We are sure there is no hope for his life." So right after reaching at their home, they prepared to bury the boy. The parents told me this paper. So me and my friend, we were and whenever we saw the baby, no grief, nothing was there. The parents were on the way. Me and my friend, we lay and prayed. We are praying and praying and praying. More than 30 minutes we prayed. Whenever we pronounce in the name of Jesus, the boy started crying. So all the villagers, by seeing this miracle, they are so excited, they are enjoying it. So after that, the next day morning, the parents came to us and saying, "Praise God, He healed our boy." So healing comes from God. This very boy was healed. And that very village, 17 women and men taking the baptism. And we started blessing there. So through the book of Disciple Alliance, they came to know the miracle of God. Our God is a miracle healer. Thank you so much.
So now we ask the question, how do we apply this mustard seed faith in our lives? How can we make this practical? Put it into practice. How can we say today, or can we say, I have mighty mustard seed faith? You know, there's great potential in each and every one of us, just like the small seed that becomes a tree. God looks at us and sees that potential. It's not because of our talents, our accomplishments, but it's because our God is great, and He loves to do great things through simple, ordinary people. Some of us, however, we may feel like, you know what, I just can't cut the mustard. I'm not up to par. We look at the issues in our lives, the struggles, times when we've fallen into sin, times when we've failed. Maybe the words that have been spoken has come back to haunt us. We're like the Israelites that when they sent the spies into the land in the Old Testament, they came back and said, "They are like giants." And the Israelites replied and said, "We're like grasshoppers in our own eyes." Sometimes when we look at the grandness around us, we look at people who are doing great things, and we read about these incredible accomplishments, we're like, who am I? What can I do that would be significant or that would really matter? Sometimes we're also looking at our lives and just questioning, is God able to work through someone like me? Is God upset with me? Is He disappointed in me? Because so often we're disappointed in ourselves. God wants to reveal Himself in a new way to each and every one of us. It said, listen, it's not about you. It's not about whether you're spiritual enough. We don't have to worry, have I scored enough spiritual points with God? Have I read my Bible enough? Have I prayed enough? Have I just done the things that Christians are supposed to do where I'd be counted worthy to be used by God? That's just not how it works. God works completely through grace, and He works according to His compassion and His mercy. Not just for you, but for the people around you. God has a broken heart for them, and He's looking at you to say, you're the one that I send. You're the one that I am calling, and I will work through you if you step out and believe. If you will pray and say, yes, Lord. Can we respond like the prophet Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6, where he said he saw this vision and he heard the cries in heaven. He heard the voices saying, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. I'm fascinated by this example because it didn't come out as, Isaiah, I have called you. Isaiah simply overheard, and he sensed the burden of God's heart, that God's heart was broken for his people, and he was longing for someone to go, and he volunteered. He said, "Lord, here I am. Send me." So today we ask the question, what is our response? Can we respond with mustard seed faith that's simple, that says, "Lord, here I am. Send me. Take the dreams you've given me, the visions, you know what talents I have, what gifts. And Lord, I ask that you use me in a mighty way, a strong way. In this way, I'm going to say a big way. Show me the small things that I can do that are going to make a difference in my community, in the lives around me." How do we grow faith like the mighty mustard seed? First of all, the mustard seed does not plant itself. It's planted in good soil by a farmer. It said in Corinthians, you are here in your faith because God has put you here. He's chosen you, and now you are in Christ because God has put you there. God is the one who plants us. He takes us like the small mustard seed. He plants us in a place that's good soil. You are here in Finland Mennonite Church. You are in good soil. You are in a good place to grow roots, to be nurtured, and to grow in this fellowship. There's humility in that process. The mustard seed has to be hidden in the ground. It has to go through a dying process and stay in the darkness and allow then the roots to grow before anything is seen. Then the storms come, the difficulties of life come, and that mustard seed has to continue growing. During that time, we are nurtured by being immersed in the Word of God, through prayer, through our worship. We need the water of the Holy Spirit to come and help us to grow. For me, this moment of worship this morning was like water. It was like living water coming to me. As we worship and spend time in His presence, God is watering us and preparing us to grow. The other part is we stretch up. We're stretching up to get sunlight. I spell it S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T. The light of the Son of God shines on us and helps us to grow. And we have that beautiful light. Sometimes it feels like the clouds of this world, the things we go through, the discouragements are shielding us. We're not getting that light. But we can say in the name of Jesus, let the clouds disperse and Lord, shine your light on me. Shine your light on me as I grow, that I can reflect your glory in this world, that I can shine brightly. Work righteousness into me, a righteous life, Lord, so that I will shine like the sun. That's what it says in one of the Old Testament passages. And then it says that in that mustard tree, the birds of the air come and make their nest there. I think this is significant. We are all called to be a tree where others can find help. A place of rest. Together as the body of Christ, we are a healing community where people come in and they find life and hope and rest. This is what God is calling us to. What are the small things then that God is calling you to? Ask the question, God, what are those small things I may have been missing? What are those little things I can do? And what are the things that I can invest in that will multiply into big things eventually? What is your part in the kingdom of the King? Each one of us has a part. We have a role to play. Some of them will always be invisible, won't be seen by others, but praise God for that. We rest in saying, God, I want to be obedient to you. I want to step out and take those risks that you call us to, even willingness to risk your own lives. It's heavy on my heart this morning about one of our staff in Ethiopia who just this past week was almost killed by a mob, he and his family. The policeman came and arrested him to save him and kept him in jail for 3 days. And now there are mobs of people around the church, won't let the church people enter. There's a lot of conflict in this northern part of Ethiopia, but we're thanking God that he saved this person's life. We continue to pray for them, but I'm humbled. You know, I go in and out of these countries for a short period of time, but people who are there for long terms, many in parts of the world where they're risking their lives. So most of us don't have that type of challenge in front of us, but we have challenges. We need to persevere like the mustard seed pushing up through the soil. Now that, yeah, sometimes it takes that hanging in there, holding on to what God has given us. Going to our brothers and sisters saying, help me, pray for me. Just walking together and experiencing that growth. Can we ask God, give me one disciple this year? Bring one person into my life. Maybe there's someone who knows Christ already, but they need to become a mature disciple. Maybe it's someone who doesn't know Jesus yet. God, bring someone, one person into my life. And through me and through our walking together, let that person become a true disciple, which is a disciple makes disciples. Someone then that will disciple someone else. And show me how to help them get ready for that. Charles Spurgeon once said, do what you do thoroughly, pray over it heartily, and leave the result to God. So I want us to rest with this a moment, leaving these results to God. Sometimes we look at the small things we do and we don't see the results, but God does. We're not called to carry these burdens. The mustard seed, again, didn't plant itself and doesn't do much to grow. Just good nutrients, water, and sun. That's what we need. But when we hear that gentle prompting of God saying, there's an opportunity. When we see an opportunity or the daily interactions, who knows, the small things we do, what kind of ripple effect that can do, be ready to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Open my eyes to see what you see, to see every person around me as that gift, that person that you gave your life for. We lift these things to the Lord then, and we leave it with him, because he's the one who causes the growth. He's the one who does the work. We are just used by him for a moment, or whatever God calls us to do, to say, Lord, here I am. I am your servant. Let's pray together. Lord, here we are before you with our doubts, our fears, Lord, just whatever situation we're this morning. But we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and bring your light. Bring your living water. Let your Holy Spirit flow upon us now. We pray, Lord, for whatever mustard seeds you have planted in our hearts and our souls. Lord, we want to believe and have that faith that says, yes, Lord, we're ready. And yes, Lord, you will do it. We thank you, Lord, that we can let go of striving and know, Lord, that you will bring about your purposes through our lives. Lord, we lift up our families. We lift up our schools. We lift up our workplaces, our communities, wherever we interact. And we ask, Lord God, help us to see those opportunities. And we pray, Lord, let us be your light and send us, we pray. Show us when a small conversation, just listening, is what's needed. Show us how to be bold to invite someone, Lord, into reading the Bible together, coming to church. Lord, show us unique ways, whatever they are. Let us just flow with your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, give us those divine appointments. And Lord, I pray for your anointing for gifts of service in this congregation. Your anointing for new vision that you're implanting. And I thank you, Lord, for the ways that you have worked tremendously and the way you will continue to work. Lord, I lift up especially now just people that are saying, yeah, I'm that person that says I can't cut the mustard, that I don't have what it takes to be used by God. Lord, these are the ones you're calling because you delight in doing great things through weakness. So, Lord, I pray, plant faith now. Give that gift of faith to believe in you, to know, Lord, you are with us. You've not abandoned us. That, Lord, you give us faith to overcome over all the power of the enemy, that we can stand strong, Lord, with this mighty mustard seed faith. Holy Spirit, you're the one we look to. Fill us, equip us in the name of Jesus. Amen.